As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Welcome to the Andy Staples Show, Realignment Emergency Edition. That's what all of these are going to be for the next few weeks. We're recording this Sunday night. I am here with Ari Wasserman. So far, Texas and Oklahoma are still in the Big 12. By the time you listen to this on Monday, they may have announced their intent to leave at a future date. But Ari, I think we have a lot to talk about because the fallout from this thing is going to be absolutely massive. This affects everybody. You got all of the Aggies mad at you, which is amazing to me because I didn't think they could be mad at anybody, matter at somebody else than Greg Sankey, but they got mad at you too.
Yeah, it's funny. The emergency episode, it's 2 weeks of emergency or a month of emergency straight.
Oh, it's going to be like, it could, basically till toe meets leather, until we have actual football games to talk about. Because if I've learned one thing covering multiple rounds of realignment, you guys want to talk about realignment. You just do. You love it. You
because
can't get
enough. It's fascinating if your team is in that conference. It's fascinating if your team is going to that conference. And it's fascinating if you're a fan of a team in another conference in terms of what that means for your team and, you know, what that means for playoff discussions and all that stuff. So as this is happening, as recruiting rules are changing, as NIL is being introduced, and as the expansion of the playoff is imminent, it seems like how could the college football
change anymore? Everything.
Just do it all. Just get rid of it. It's like, yeah. I feel like we started remodeling a house and then we just knocked the whole thing down. And that's where we're at right,
right
now. But I don't know if people got mad, Andy. When I had my playoff takes about A&M during the season, I felt the Texas A&M wrath. I don't know if people got mad. I don't know that I said anything that would make you mad. I think it's pretty true. I mean,
well, I think this is a fact.
Texas A&M does not want Texas in the SEC. Okay, do it.
We know that. Let's set the folks up, though. You wrote a column when it came out that Texas and Oklahoma were angling toward joining the SEC. Ari Wasserman, Texas A&M's recruiting nightmare. Texas and Oklahoma to the SEC. Nightmare, you called it. And then
you lead with Kenyon Green, who is
from Humble, Texas. Spelled Humble. They call it, but they pronounce it Humble. My wife was actually born there.
That was a great lead. Don't trash my lead. You can trash my idea.
It was a wonderful lead. His dad said if Texas A&M wasn't in the SEC, he would have gone to LSU because they consider the SEC one step below the NFL. But here's my question. What makes you think he would have gone to Texas if Texas was in the SEC? A&M's closer to his house.
Well, the A&M is closer to his house, but he didn't want... Also in the quote, it was a major factor for us playing in the SEC. The closest SEC team to us in Texas was Texas A&M. He didn't have to leave the state to represent Texas and the SEC.
Okay, well, all right. But I want to stick with your Kenyon Green example.
Yeah.
So Texas joins the SEC. Who has produced more first-round offensive linemen?
Oh,
A&M or Texas?
Before you go down this road, let me just explain the column because people have no context on this. My idea was that Texas A&M's recruiting has significantly improved since they joined the SEC, right? And during that same time, Texas's recruiting results have deteriorated. Maybe that's a strong word. Have
not
gone
according
down
to the numbers,
bit.
They've been pretty good.
I got the numbers right here.
Them. Yeah,
A&M's average recruiting class. Let me see here. A&M in the Big 12 and Texas in the Big 12 from 2002 to 2011. Right, A&M's mm-hmm. average class finished at 20.4 overall, and Texas's recruiting classes during that span of both being in the Big 12 was number 6 overall. Top 10 classes signed during that period, Texas had 9, A&M had 1. Top 5 classes during that time, Texas had 4,
no,
A&M had 0.
I'm not arguing with you that being in the SEC has made Texas A&M's recruiting better.
But I want people to hear the numbers before we continue. Do you mind?
Okay, go ahead.
So then after the 2012 to 2001 change, A&M jumped up from 20.4 average finish to 10.7. Top 5 classes 5 after only signing 1 the previous 10 years, and top 5 finishes 2, and then Texas went from 6 to 10.7 or almost 11. So those are numbers, you know, and theorizing about where Kenyon Green might have ended up if both were in the SEC is certainly worthy of a discussion. I understand your point really well, but I do also know that if Texas is in the SEC and there are more battles like this, it's just going to turn out with Texas A&M losing more than they would have now. And when I say nightmare, I know nightmare is kind of a dramatic thing. I don't write the headlines, but it's not good. I mean, why doesn't Texas A&M want Texas in the SEC? Is it like bragging rights? Is it to feel special? Is it
psychological?
I mean, what is
psychological scars are part of it? But no, all the stuff.
I mean,
you
from
said.
A tactical standpoint, this is the number one reason why I would think. And all the things that, you know, you could say about those, you know, those desires of wanting to be the only state school or the only state Texas school in the state of Texas in the SEC, you know, having those unique recruiting advantages, all the things that come into play. But I think the number one way that it could actually tangibly impact Texas A&M on the recruiting front is that it'll be harder to continue the upward swing and the success they've had with in-state prospects that they've enjoyed the last 9 years that didn't exist before that. And listen, I understand that part of that is Jimbo Fisher. Part of that is Tom Herman and being fired.
Part of it's Mack Brown.
Part of it's Mack Brown. Yeah, it's not just those are the numbers only because of the SEC. But when you have such a stark difference, I mean, those are very considerable improvements. From 21 to 10 is a lot.
Let me ask you this, because I spent the weekend arguing with A&M people about this, because they thought I was making fun of them, but what I'm saying is you guys are not giving your program enough credit.
That's right.
Like, if A&M beats Texas on the field regularly, which given the constitution of the teams right now, if they started playing this year, I would think that would happen, at least for the first few years. A&M would be pretty far ahead. Doesn't that help A&M?
I think that the thing that if I were an A&M fan, I would feel is we're actually going to get to play these guys again.
Yeah.
And when we play them, if we beat them, if we're a superior program based on the merits of where we are right now, then that will take us further in the recruiting world that has more to do with the label of the conference that's on our jersey. And fearing Texas is part of the reason why people make fun of them. So I'm not trying to say that Texas A&M is doomed and that they're not going to be a good team anymore and that Jimbo might as well go find another job. I'm just saying from a recruiting standpoint, to add Oklahoma and Texas, they're two main opponents in the recruiting realm based on geography, to the conference that has the cachet that the SEC does, that slams the door shut on one of A&M's best selling points, which is come be in Texas and come play in the SEC. If you have Oklahoma, who is spending 80% of their time recruiting Texas, and Texas unquestionably needing Texas to succeed, also having that same bullet point on their come to our school resume, even if they still continue to do it at an 80% clip and they only take a 20% change out, that's a significant change over the course of 4 recruiting classes. So
I think they'll be just fine. I mean, I'll compare it to 2 programs that were already in the SEC, Alabama and Auburn. Since Nick Saban has been at Alabama, Auburn has won a national title. They have won 2 SEC titles. They have won 3 SEC West titles. Either Texas or Texas A&M would happily trade places with those results over the last 15 years. I don't think it's the disaster a lot of people think it would be for A&M.
But does Alabama and A&M rely on the state of Alabama the same way those three programs rely on Texas?
It doesn't matter.
Because we're talking about
matters anymore. Just go get players.
No, I know, but I think we're also talking about three programs that, if you want to lump Oklahoma into this, all really, really, really relying on a certain geographical area. Whereas Alabama
is Texas A&M relying as much on the state of Texas as they used to? I would argue they're not.
I mean, they're really relying on the city of Houston for sure.
You mean the one that's really close to them and not as close to Austin or Oklahoma or Norman?
I know. But you don't think that a team that's in, or a kid that's in Houston would be more interested in Texas as a result of them being in the SEC and thus making it harder for A&M to land them? Or do you think nothing changes?
Because
if nothing changes, then why are they upset about it?
That kid, I don't know where they're upset about it. I'm saying they don't need to be, because that kid is already going to consider Texas A&M, Oklahoma, LSU, Alabama. Yeah,
yeah. They're all, and Texas that A&M has been getting that kid.
That person has already been considering all those options.
I know, but now the other options are sexier.
Is Texas sexier than LSU?
Sexier. I think Texas is sexier in the SEC than the Big 12. I don't even think that's a debate.
Is Texas sexier in the SEC than LSU?
To an in-state prospect? Maybe, yeah. Texas? University of Texas to a kid in Texas playing in the SEC? Maybe, yeah.
I'm just telling you right now, if LSU and Alabama are also among your options, you're not worrying about state lines. You're just not.
No, I agree with you on that. But I'm talking about, listen, if you go look at the Texas number of blue chippers in the state, I think we've talked about this on the podcast a few times, but there's like 150 blue chip prospects in the state of Texas. It's insane. And there's enough to go around. Alabama gets theirs. Ohio State gets theirs. Oklahoma gets theirs. LSU gets theirs. Everybody is getting a little piece of the Texas pie. But you know just as well as everybody that the way that your roster is constructed from top to bottom is a huge aspect to whether or not your team is willing or able to, not willing, able to win a national championship.
Yeah. We're asking about Texas and Oklahoma as they enter the SEC.
But even like, those middle tier players, prepared? Like those players that rank in between 250 and 300, that might not have an Alabama offer or might not have an LSU offer, but Texas and Texas A&M both want those players. And then that kid turns out to be an all-conference player. Those are the types of players that can put you over the edge when you get them in conjunction with five-star players. And those are the types of guys that I think Texas and what state school wants them, it matters to. So it's not Aggies, always just focusing
on... I haven't given up on you yet. Ari has. I have not. Don't worry.
I haven't given up. I'm just saying it's not...
messing with you.
Listen, you know where I stand on Texas, right? We've talked about it ad nauseum. It's almost a joke.
Yes, you stand wrong on Texas.
But now you're making them... Are we not making them sexier? Yes or no?
Yeah. They wouldn't be doing this if it didn't make them sexier.
They're so sexy now. I think they might get their heads beat in. Like, I think it's going to be a lot harder.
They're still not as sexy as LSU or Alabama. They're not as sexy as A&M right now.
UT Longhorns are Oklahoma. So sexy.
Are you just, you're just thinking about that SEC patch on the jersey?
Oh, my God. Yeah, I'm just like, my eyes are watering.
All right. Let's talk about the fallout from this beyond the recruiting aspects of it and beyond Texas and A&M. Although I will say, you know who wins with Texas and A&M in the same conference? Us, the viewers.
Yeah. I don't even know what to expect. You know, I think that Oklahoma is probably not going to win the conference that they're in much.
No, but if it's a 12-team playoff with six at-large, is Oklahoma probably
doesn't matter
in quite a bit. Yeah.
What, do you have a bunch of three-loss teams from the SEC getting in now?
Not a bunch, but maybe one. Yeah. I think it's depending on how your schedule draw goes, I think that's definitely possible.
If there's a 12-team playoff, how many teams from the SEC could get in a given year, do you think? Like, what's the max number? Five? Four?
Six is the max, I think.
Six?
I think five is possible. I think four is probably pretty normal at that point. So, I mean, look, it's going to be the best soap opera in sports. The SEC will be the best soap opera. If they really
a quarter of the conference is going to make the playoff.
If they really want to cash in on all this, like the SEC Network would have a Formula One Drive to Survive style show following four SEC teams, like one superpower, one kind of mid-tier, could compete for the national title, but maybe not. One trying to get into that group and one doormat, and you just follow them the whole season. And you know, they actually say what they think. And it would be amazing. It really would, because the drama in the new SEC will be outstanding. From a viewership standpoint, that is an incredible collection of brands. It just is.
I don't even know how it gets better than that, and I don't know how other conferences compete. And, you know, at a certain point, you get to a place where the SEC has so much cachet and so many brands. I mean, you're talking about two of the biggest brands in the sport added to that conference. It's like, if you're the Big Ten, what do you even do? There's not even an option out there. What is, like, well, Notre Dame your best chance?
Yes, it's your best chance and your most natural fit and all that. But
doesn't Notre Dame have a more natural fit in the ACC than the Big Ten? Well,
there's two issues with Notre Dame. One, they're not joining a conference. Like,
right.
the way the playoff set up, yeah, they don't have to. And two, according to the contract they have with the ACC, if they join a conference, it has to be the ACC. So if you're the Big Ten, no, that's probably not an option. The ACC teams that you would, like, North Carolina, if the ACC ever fell apart, is like a lock Big Ten team. You know they are. But the ACC has a grant of rights through 2036. It's funny because the members of the league hate that TV contract and think it's an albatross that John Swofford left on them, but it actually may be the thing that keeps them from getting picked apart. Like, if you're the SEC and you just got Texas and Oklahoma, you could go out and get Clemson and Florida State tomorrow if it were legally or feasible, if it was legally possible or feasible to get them. But if the grant rights holds, they would owe so much money to the ACC, they can't do that. We'll be right back after these words.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy!
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds!
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
I think that's the fear in the sport is you look at the SEC, and we saw this with soccer, with international soccer, where the clubs tried to get together and form the Super League. And now the fan backlash caused that to not happen. But I don't think American sports fans would be capable of that kind of backlash. Like, they're just not as worried about it. They'd be like, okay, well, I guess that's what you're going to do. I don't think that's necessarily great for the sport, because I feel like college football got big and made a lot of money by going from being a regional sport to being a national sport. I fear that it is becoming regional again. And this doesn't help, because the South and the Midwest were the regions that cared the most originally. The South and the Midwest are the only regions that really should care about it now under this. Now, I have an idea, Ari. Would you like to hear my big idea?
Yes. Dun da da da.
All right, if I were Kevin Warren at the Big Ten, this is what I would do. And I would pitch this as I am saving college football as a national sport. You're welcome, everybody else. Although I don't think certain people would feel that way. I think certain people would feel like I was being rather ruthless, but that's okay. If I were Kevin Warren, I would take half the Pac-12. I would make the Big Ten a national conference. I would get the best brands in the Pac-12. I would add that football, which could be very good, depending on how Oregon keeps going, Washington keeps going, USC keeps going. And I would have essentially a national conference. Okay, so here's the six. Originally, it was going to be four. My original plan was four: USC, UCLA, Washington, and Oregon. USC, Washington, and Oregon are the three best football programs. They also happen to all be AAU members,
That's Association of American Universities, not Amateur Athletic Union. So they would get the Big Ten stamp of approval from the presidents. You add UCLA because it's a huge brand in the nation's second largest city, also an AAU member, great school. And then I thought about the Big Ten Academic Alliance. It used to be called the CIC, but it's basically the schools of the Big Ten, and they share stuff academically, they share research, that sort of thing. That's a big deal to them. And if you could add Cal and Stanford to that, they would do that. So I'm adding Cal and Stanford to the mix as well. Plus,
is Northwestern and Stanford an emerging rivalry?
It would be great. That's not a bad idea. But the other thing about adding six instead of four is it allows you in the other sports to essentially let them act as their own conference for travel purposes. Like maybe you have some stuff, some tournament type stuff where you get teams from across the country together, but you're not forcing your volleyball teams and your basketball teams to fly across the country all the time. This would allow it to be a little more manageable for them. But in football, it doesn't matter. You play five road games. So that's not a big deal. And so you create four or five team pods and you just play it. You play it like that. And you would play everybody in your pod every year. And then you would play one pod every single year. So you'd go through the whole league every 3 years. And I'm telling you, it would make people more interested in football on the West Coast. Because right now, if the Big Ten doesn't do anything, and the Big Ten would be perfectly fine staying at 14. The Big Ten is exceptionally strong. They make more money than any other conference right now. The SEC will probably leapfrog them with the new members. But the fact of the matter is, the Big Ten is very strong. They don't need to do anything, but they could be stronger this way.
They're very strong because their number one brand is not going anywhere.
Correct.
You know, and having that sort of stability, I think, is something that the Big 12 clearly doesn't have or didn't have. And, you know, the thing that I'm just, as a casual observer and consumer of the sport, it's just like at a certain point when you start getting into 18, 20 team conferences, it's like, what's the purpose of those conferences to begin with? You know, it's just to make sure that we can all make schedules easier. You know, because
I have the same issue. I do, but I don't understand the purpose of it. I don't know what else you do, though. Do you just let West Coast football die? Because honestly, if nothing changes, if those schools stay out there and don't play anybody over this way, except in the non-conference, I don't think they're going to be relevant again. Yeah. I just don't.
Yeah, well, they're having a hard time with relevance right now. And, you know, the hope is that they will pull themselves out of the gutter and do it themselves, you know, because I do think that they would be very relevant if USC was a power or Oregon was a power. The reason why we've forgotten about them is because their time zone sucks, but also because they just haven't been very good, you know. And I don't know if the money that would come in with the Big Ten contract and the way that that's all set up would help them recruit better. Would it be more money, more resources, more results? But it's just like you have Penn State playing a road game at USC every other year. I mean, that would be cool, but it's just like, how manageable is it? And then from a recruiting standpoint, you know, you just have made the entire country is now your footprint, you know, and yes. It just, you know, that's really, really fun, but I also don't know how realistic that is.
Well, the best players on the West Coast are not playing on the West Coast anyway. So
I think you could also make the case now that you say that doing that would make it harder for West Coast football to stay relevant. Like they'd be playing in these games and those, I think the talent would be harder to keep home. It's like now if there's a kid from Washington or Seattle or a kid from Northern California and he's a really, really good football player and he wants to go to Penn State, you can say, hey, well, you're going to be playing four games in California every other year and you're going to be in this atmosphere a lot.
You get to play Penn State and play Ohio State. Like right now when you get to say you get to, but you come to Oregon, you get to play USC, which isn't that good right now, and UCLA, which isn't that good right now.
How high on the list of who you play do you think a prospect is considering? I don't think they care at all.
I think they care about playing NFL players. And I'd rather play against Ohio State. If I'm borderline, yeah, I'd rather play against Ohio State if I have the chance. Like that might keep me in the Pac-12 rather than send me somewhere else.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very interesting Pac-12 idea.
That would keep me home in that new Big Ten. But,
right, exactly.
Yeah, because you have those and you have those brands, and the exposure would be insane. Because one of the other things I would argue is that I think Fox should attempt it. Let's say if the Big Ten did that, the next move should be Fox should attempt to be the exclusive home of that, just as ESPN will be the exclusive home of the new SEC once all this gets finalized. So ESPN's going to bid a lot to make sure that doesn't happen. So you are going to get a buttload of money one way or the other with that lineup.
And then what? So the leftovers of all these conferences, the leftovers of the Big 12 and the leftovers of the Pac-12 create a group of five mediocre former Power 5 conference and then go from there?
I actually think that could be kind of a fun league.
It would be a fun league. And now the thing that's so interesting is that if this were to happen 3 months ago, we would all be going bonkers in the context of the playoff. But now that it's expanded to 12, conference association, you know, though in some cases will probably still matter, it doesn't matter nearly as much as it does now.
Well, right.
And it's like if there's a really good team and yeah, Oklahoma State's going to win that new conference that we just made up
from the playoff. Yeah.
And be in the playoff and then lose to whoever they lose to like they would have anyway. So, you know, I guess that's an interesting idea, but it's just like at that point, it feels like we're inching closer and closer to super teams. So then, or super conferences. And then 10 years from now, when there's more conference realignment, then all of a sudden the Northwesterns and the Stanfords and the Indianas and the Michigan States get thrown aside. And then the next thing you know, the five best programs from, you know, it just, why don't we just put Ohio State, Alabama, Clemson, Georgia, and just get, let's just do it now. And then we'll move on to it. Cause it seems like it's going that way.
I mean, that definitely seems to be where it's going. And I think that's why I suggested that Big Ten thing, because that might slow it down. That might keep that from happening. If you have one very strong brand up here and one very strong brand down here, then maybe it doesn't. Now, maybe they merge and become essentially the AFL and the NFL or the AFC and the NFC. But I don't know. I mean, I think the problem is we're headed that way. I started reading this book this weekend about the formation of the Premier League in England. And I'm not a huge soccer fan, so I didn't know a lot of this stuff. The parallels between English soccer and American college football are uncanny. The book is called The Club, and it's outstanding. If you have not read it, I highly recommend picking it up. But if you're a college football fan, even if you know nothing about soccer, you will recognize everything. You will say, I remember when this happened in college football, and when this happened, and when this happened, and when this happened. And the Premier League probably would be the Super League, you know, that would be the crux of it is the top however many. I don't know how many
Dabo wants relegation, doesn't he?
Shoot, you could do it. It's not, you know, the relegation thing was a nod or a concession to the other teams that they were breaking away from to be like, well, you still have a chance and we're not completely leaving you behind. But yeah, I mean, you could do something like that. I don't think, you know, in American sports, they don't do that. So I don't know that it would happen. But yeah, I am curious if it gets to that point where I don't know how many teams it would be. Would it be 30? Would it be 35, 40? I don't think it is any more than 40. But where does that stop?
Well, it seems like we're getting there. I don't know where it stops. Because it kind of makes it. It's just a natural progression into the national sport. That's all that is.
But it's not a national sport if there's nobody in California that matters.
No, I know.
That's that. That's the issue. Under your new
proposal, but under your new proposal, then that solves that.
Yeah. Well, that's
you know, in a world where
I'm just accepting that the SEC and the Big Ten are the power two now, and look, there's not going to be a Power 5 anymore. There will not be four 16-team super conferences. The SEC and the Big Ten are going to be significantly better than everybody else. Period. They're going to make more money significantly than everybody else. Period.
You got the Pac-12 and you got the ACC. Is there like a marriage there waiting to happen between the two coasts?
It's so hard because of the coasts and...
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Like if you're playing USC at Penn State, I don't think that Oregon, Virginia Tech's that much further. You know, I mean, it's kind of the same deal.
And I'm curious how the ACC people feel right now, because they, you know, they have that contract. And now if you are Syracuse, you're probably looking at that and going, thank God we have that contract, because the SEC can't pick off Clemson and Florida State. The Big Ten can't pick off North Carolina and Virginia. We're okay. But what now? Here's what I'm wondering. I'm guessing, I don't know, but if they're smart, then Oklahoma and Texas are looking into how they could legally challenge the Big 12's grant of rights. If the grant of rights can't hold up in court, then the ACC is open for business.
Yeah, and I'm sure that they're probably watching that very closely.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that's it. That's what this is a very strange time. This feels more volatile than at any point in 2010 and 2011. Because in 2010 and 2011, you didn't have the premier teams in any conference leaving. Now, I would argue that the Big 12 did not recognize the value. Yeah, the Big 12 did not recognize the value of Texas A&M when they let them leave, but that was different. This is very much the best two brands in a league are leaving.
And not just in a league, two of the top 10 best brands in the sport.
Yes, correct.
And because that makes it feel a little bit different to me.
And if you're Clemson or Florida State and you look at that and you go, well, the handshake agreement's off apparently with the SEC. So, you know, because in the last round of realignment, and that's what I think we should explain, the drivers of realignment and how they've changed. Like in the last round, it was all about
cable,
getting more cable households in your footprint so that your cable network could make more money. And what you were doing, like the SEC, you added 10 million cable households in Texas. You added 2 million cable households in the state of Missouri. That's $1.30 a month to 12 million people. I think it's $187 million a year extra that would be paid, that they were paying for the SEC network. And that got split between ESPN and the SEC. The thing about that is a good number of those people who are paying for that don't care about sports, don't care about the SEC, don't watch it at all. Well, in the meantime, millions of people have figured out that if you don't care about sports, you should not pay for cable. And so that's not the way you make the money now. Now you've got to get the money from the network itself. They have to pay, or if you can distribute it yourself, but the Pac-12 tried that and hadn't worked real well. So you want the biggest possible brands so that people feel the need to subscribe to that service, however it is offered to them.
Dude, it's just Netflix with sports. That's all it is.
Exactly.
You have the best shows, and the best shows make people want to pay. That's it. That's all it is.
That's right.
So you know, trying to like
Texas
like,
is Texas is Sex Life, and Oklahoma's the new He-Man show on Netflix.
Dude, that'd be a really funny podcast if we just started like, I watched Dr. Death. Which one's that?
I don't know. Is that Auburn? He gives you a buyout before he kills you, though.
Yeah. That's a good one. But yeah, so, and like that to me, and I know that we always are in a position where whatever's happening right now, you feel like it'll never change, but a la carte consumption of what you want to watch seems to be all that it's ever going to be at this point. It's that way with movies. It's that way with the way you consume your TV. It's that way with sports, and pay-per-view to a certain extent is kind of, you know, it's all, instead of paying, you know, $80, and I know UFC and all that stuff still does it,
right.
But you pay for the channels that you want. And the brands of what you want in college football aren't as in flux as anything else. Like, everybody's still going to want to watch Alabama and Ohio State in 10 years. So yeah. I think that the bargaining chips and the stakes when it comes to realignment this year are far more important and crucial, because if you get a brand like Oklahoma or Texas or Alabama or whoever, you know, the schools that are in that 1A tier, mm-hmm. you're getting a commodity that has staying power.
Right. Which is why I'd say the Big Ten should try to get USC if it can. I mean,
that's a brand that's not going anywhere. How much those brands are valued. Like, I wonder, it's a TV market, which we've rendered to be completely overblown at this point, the same way that the right. Big Ten getting Rutgers. I mean, I don't know how much that matters. Capturing the New Jersey, New York market didn't
no, it doesn't
really
matter
work
at all
out the way that they did.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, in your opinion, Mr. SEC, who lives in Gainesville, like, I guess USC is a national power, and you said that UCLA is a premier brand in the Pac-12.
I didn't say they're,
but
I said they're a good brand.
What did you say? They're a good brand or a premier? Whatever.
A
All I know
brand
is
in the second largest city in America. Yes,
but I wonder, agree. Like, if you look at some of the teams in the SEC and the second tier teams in the Big Ten, if some of those teams are more valuable from a viewership standpoint than maybe even USC or UCLA are. Because all I know is, at least working at the Athletic, and I'm not allowed to, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this on the podcast.
You're not. I can tell you right now, you're not.
I've come to understand that UCLA's readership is very low.
Yes,
and agreed. I think that there's a correlation between UCLA's readership and potential viewership, and I don't know, based on the sexy uniforms and the cool location that the school's in, if the actual television product or the value of that commodity would even rank as well as a middle-of-the-tier team like Oklahoma State. Who says that? Like, Oklahoma State probably has a more passionate fan base than UCLA.
Oh, I would agree with that. But I think in terms of national relevance with those cool uniforms, if they can ever get good – You got something good on your hands. Oregon
I know, but
is
I wonder
a national
if we're in
brand.
That, but are we in that weird... Listen, everything changes. I know nothing... We always feel like things right. are always going to change. They change. But in the way that the recruiting realm is working and going right now, it is increasingly harder to build a program. And at a certain point, it's like, when's the last time UCLA was super, super good? I know they were in the top 10 when I was in college back in like the 05 to 09.
Yeah, they had some good years in the late 90s, but yeah, and Mora had one or two decent teams, but you're right. They've
I think
not
counting on UCLA
good.
To be great is a terrible
but
investment.
You're not counting on UCLA. You're counting on USC and Oregon. You're hoping UCLA can do something.
But USC's brand, I mean, if you take away the Pete Carroll years, it's not like they've constantly been a powerhouse over the course of the last 50
but
years.
But the Pete Carroll years happened.
They certainly
I mean,
did. You're right. But
I,
like,
mean,
I don't know if you can assess the entire...
Ari, I can argue that if you take away the Mac Brown years at Texas.
Yeah, I know. Here, but the interest in Texas is unwavering, and I don't know if the interest in USC
and there is unwavering interest in USC.
But not
in
to the
USC's
same degree.
Market. Not to the same degree. No, it's not. But here's the thing. Texas and Oklahoma are gone. They're off the board. You got to get the best you can get right now. Now, you don't take anybody that's going to cause you to lose money. That's going to call it. There is no scenario in this.
No Rutgers mistakes.
I don't think. Right. Well, they didn't lose money on Rutgers. So
I know. But you can't make that the mistake now is what I mean.
You couldn't do it now.
Because the stakes are different now.
Yeah. If you took a Rutgers now, it would cost somebody who's currently in your league money. So you can't do that. I would argue that if you do this, everybody in the Big Ten still makes more money. If they don't, you can't do it. The math doesn't work.
I was watching this show on the Discovery Channel called Undercover Billionaire. Have you ever heard of this?
Mm-hmm.
You've watched this?
I have not watched it. I have heard of it.
Basically, the premise is that a billionaire goes to Erie, Pennsylvania, and poses as somebody who's completely broke, and he does a challenge where in 90 days, he has to...
Oh, and they're always pretty rich by the end of the 90 days.
Well, his thing is that he could create a business with only $100 in his pocket starting and nowhere to live. $1 million business in 90 days. And at the end of the show, you know, he's super successful or whatever. And they have somebody come over to the place or the business that he created and assess the value of that mm-hmm. place.
Business,
and I
yeah.
know this sounds weird, but it would be a very interesting column, podcast, story idea, whatever, to assess the value of these programs, because the value in the individual brands of these schools matters way more now than it ever did before.
Oh,
and
yeah.
the way that we those values of those programs, it's not about television market, as you pointed out, and I don't know if the upside and the earning potential of some of these programs are as stark as the logo on their helmets would imply. And it's well, like, I'm not saying that you're wrong, but I wonder if there's like some weird, sneaky teams out there in the middle of America that people forget about that actually would be more profitable and more interesting to the average casual college football fan than USC because they were good with Pete Carroll for a 7-year period. You know,
yeah,
it's
USC,
just like
USC wasn't just good with Pete Carroll. USC was good.
No,
for
they
a
were
long
good in the
time.
70s too. I know, yeah. I know. And maybe but, USC is a no brainer, but the rest of the
this is the problem, Ari. We do talk to these people. who do value these things, who do write the checks for these things. And for example, the remaining teams in the Big 12, that collection of teams is not that different from the American. Without Texas and Oklahoma, that collection of brands is not different, is not fundamentally different from the American.
I bet you have you seen that meme of that dude in the yellow blazer standing behind the tree with his rubbing his hands, like waiting to
yes.
Is that the AAC right now?
Yes, it is. And so I would argue, and our colleague Nicole Auerbach wrote a column about this, and I wholeheartedly agree. If I were the AAC, I would be the aggressor right now. I would be going up to those Big 12 programs and saying, listen, we'll take you right now. Come play with us. And they're going to say no, because they should. They should try to hang on to force Texas and Oklahoma to stay as long as they can to cash the checks. And then as soon as it's miserable enough, then you settle with them and make them write a check and leave, and you take their money. But then you may come back and go, you know what? The rest of because I'm assuming my Big Ten idea of raiding the Pac-12 doesn't happen. But
you're brilliant.
Assuming,
it might happen.
I'm also assuming the Pac-12 isn't going to want the remainder of the Big 12. So what do you do if you're that?
I wonder if we can get past, can we get, like, the thing about the American that I'm wondering is, and I know UCF and I know Cincinnati to a certain extent, but where is it in terms of program support from a financial standpoint? And I know that improves based on what conference you're in and the
Houston,
revenue of your conference.
SMU. I mean, Houston spends SMU. Like a Power 5 school.
So, like, is SMU a Big 12 team in your mind right now? Before all this?
They could be.
Because I think I actually tweeted this, but I think SMU has won more than anybody has won this summer.
So I don't know, what is
Cincinnati?
Who
is Cincinnati the fifth best team in the Big 12?
No, Cincinnati would be like the third or fourth best team in the Big 12 right now.
Yeah.
And that's with Texas and Oklahoma there.
Yeah.
They're the best team if they're gone. Maybe.
Okay.
Or it's Iowa State.
I think
State
we need to make
them,
a distinction between team and program, too. Is Cincinnati a better program than Oklahoma State? Is it a better program
or
than TCU?
No, not than Oklahoma State. But they're about the same. Remember, other than when Senator Tuberville
was
there.
They are basically the same. They are basically
Cincinnati's been good. Like,
TCU
really good.
Was the original Cincinnati.
Yes. Yes. They played in like five different conferences and won them all.
And also was awesome and also is located in a very talent-rich area.
Yeah.
And is a very unique, smaller school with a lot of passionate fans. Like, I think you could make the case that, you know, here's the thing that people have to get past. Because they're in the group of five now doesn't mean that they can't be in the
well, here's
power
the thing.
Five.
No,
and there is no power five. No, I know,
no
but
power
like,
five anymore.
From a thought
there's
process,
no group of
though.
Five anymore.
It's a thought process, though. Because even though those two things will cease to exist, you still would look at a team like Memphis and go, ugh, power or a group of five team. They're not good enough to be in the power five. But it's like you have to open up your brain and remember that TCU was a quote unquote group of five team not too long ago.
Well,
and
they were a non-BCS team.
Non-BCS team.
Now
they're like a legitimate
power five team. Well, because power five is something that we create. Remember, it was BCS and non-BCS. Then we adjusted.
Yeah.
Because BCS was six conferences.
But now the playoff just scraps all that. And you're just, it's just football teams.
It's, well, the 14 playoff didn't scrap. The 14
the new,
playoff
the
created
new playoff
the power
system.
Five.
Yeah.
The new playoff, correct. And if we're going to say power anything, it is power two. That's it. That it stops at two. And I'm not sure the Big Ten and the SEC are, well, I know they're not on equal footing top to bottom when the new SEC starts. So,
because the gap between a lower tier power, as it stands right now, the gap between a lower or middle tier power five team and the top half of the American is not big at all. It's actually negligible.
And I got to be honest with you, you fold the remaining Big 12 teams into the American, that is a fun football league.
Yeah.
Like, that's enjoyable football. And now it's
is
not
it the worst
make the money they want,
but would it be the worst program or the worst conference? It falls behind. Would that be worse than the Pac-12?
I would it be worse?
No,
the
thing about
it would be,
but the way that the Power Five was constructed as we sit here today, before any changes happen,
each league has a superpower, whether it be a current superpower or a super brand. Pac-12 had Washington, UCLA, USC, and Oregon. Maybe UCLA and Washington don't belong in that, but those four teams are national right. brands to a certain extent. ACC has Clemson, Ohio State's in the Big Ten. You've got Alabama, Florida, Georgia, Auburn, and the SEC. All of them have the top heavy perennial powers.
Well, I mean, the Big Ten has way more brands than Ohio State. Let's be honest. If we're talking
powerful brands, I'm talking about flagship teams that actually can win a national championship. And on the right year, I know the Pac-12 has been down, but if Washington's played in the playoff, Oregon's played in a national title game, in the right year, all Power Five conferences have multiple programs in those conferences that when things are clicking could reasonably potentially win a national championship. But if you start moving over Oklahoma and Texas, I don't know if there's anything left in the Big Ten or Big 12 after they leave that you could say, you know what? They could actually win a national championship. So you're going to have multiple conferences in this new world of college football that have no teams in there, even on the right year, that could ever, ever, ever be good enough to win a national title. And that inherently makes them to be viewed the way that the Group of Five is currently viewed in the current setup.
And honestly, that is why I'm arguing that the Big Ten should take the best of the Pac-12. Because I think if you put those teams in the Big Ten, they have a better chance of being competitive for the national title than if they stay as the Pac-12. Because I feel like if they stay as the Pac-12, they just get more and more isolated from everything else.
But the leftovers of that is just a Group of Five conference, not called the Group of Five.
Correct. It is what it is, Ari. I mean, like, Texas and Oklahoma in the SEC, something has to be done.
No, I know. But I still think that natural selection is going to create conferences that actually have a chance to win a national championship. And then those viewer rights will inherently be lower because it'll be like Peacock.
Well, of course.
It'll be like Peacock, not Netflix. But I think that as it stands right now, there's reason to subscribe to all the conferences. And I know that the Pac-12 has been lagging behind the rest of the sport on the Eastern Seaboard, but I still watch Pac-12 football because, you know, I still watched USC play last year, believe it or not. I still watched Oregon.
If you're USC, what do you think is better for you in that scenario?
Yeah, Big Ten.
Because you're looking at it from the fan standpoint. They're not going to look at it from the fan standpoint.
Absolutely not. I'm just talking about it from the fan standpoint because this is what they're thinking about right now.
Oh, I know.
The people listening to the show are the ones that are worried about this. And, you know, and listen, it seems weird. Everything that changes is weird. NIL is weird to some people. And once the change is made, you ease into it. In 5 years, that's the new normal. And people can't be so afraid of it. But I do wonder what college football will look like when you have multiple conferences at the highest possible level, even though that's not necessarily a thing anymore with the expanded playoff, that don't have a chance to win a national championship no matter what. Because at least all Power Five programs right now, and all of the Power Five conferences have flagship universities that can recruit high enough. Like Oregon could win a national championship.
Correct. And Oregon could win a national championship in the Big Ten.
Penn State could maybe win a national championship.
Penn State definitely could win a national championship.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And any team that's even in that second tier of maybe could do it is going to be spoken for in a team that has superpowers in it. And you're not going to have any conferences that even have that second tier. It's like the number one team, like Oklahoma State's going to be the 9-time Big 12 champion moving forward, or Kansas State or Iowa State. No, Iowa State might be in the Big 10 too, for all we know. And it's just like, okay, then we have three conferences made up of 12 teams that all suck.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then what's the purpose of that conference?
To make money and serve the fans. It's like the third division in English soccer, the second division in English soccer.
Yeah.
People still come. People still watch. They wouldn't make as much in TV money, but they'd make some.
Yeah. I mean, we would all still watch. Like in that world, I would still watch Washington State, Arizona.
They're not going to stop having fans. They're still going to have students. Division III schools have put stands up in the stadium. So people can watch the games.
We've never had an era in college football where a team with a reasonable chance of winning a national championship
or a conference with teams that could win a national championship with the way that the system is set up actually has no programs that can do it. That's
sure
all I'm
we
saying.
Have. The Big East. That happened to the Big East. They had Miami, which won national championships, and then they didn't.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
So it's not that it hasn't happened before.
Well, how
it's
long just, did that last?
It's jarring. It lasted 15 years. So
yeah, it'll just feel normal. You know, I guess it'll just feel normal after a while. It's just different now.
But this one will be hard to take as normal, and that's why, again, I don't know if it can be a national sport if all of the power is concentrated in the South and the Midwest. If the West Coast has no chance, if there's nobody on the West Coast that you're even thinking about.
Under your new proposal, do you think that means that USC is recruiting Ohio and Oregon's recruiting Pennsylvania? Like, is that what you're
trying to recruit the best players in the country?
Yeah.
I mean, Alabama's recruiting California. Clemson's recruiting California. What's the difference?
Those teams can win a national championship and put 15 players in the league every year.
Okay. What do you think Oregon's building up to? I mean, I would argue that from a talent standpoint, he's building Oregon very similar to the way that Dabo built Clemson.
Yeah, you're right.
So, yeah, that's the thing. I mean, what Cristobal's done there, they do go places. Like, for those offensive linemen, they'll go to Utah, they'll go to Texas.
Oregon go to a bunch of different places. Oregon is a team. Oregon and Notre Dame are the two examples of programs that have no choice but to do it that way and have excelled doing it that way.
Yeah. You know? And the thing is, if you're in this kind of league, if you're in what the Big Ten will be when on its next TV contract, you can afford it. We'll be right back after this message from one of our lovely sponsors.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
So which conference do you think is going to cease to exist if you had to bet on it right now?
I don't know, because I really don't. So I'm assuming that what I'm suggesting with the Big Ten does not happen, and that maybe they take somebody and maybe they don't, and maybe the ACC takes somebody and maybe they don't. So really it comes down to, because I don't think the Pac-12 is going to wholesale take a bunch of teams that were left over from the Big 12. I'm not sure they take any. So is it the Big 12 raids the American, and the American backfills from Conference USA, or the American raids the Big 12, and then some go to the American and some go to the Mountain West?
Because the Pac-12 gains really nothing from adding Kansas and Kansas State, right?
No. And
I've seen a lot about basketball
powers. Gain a lot of headaches.
Do people it doesn't matter at all, right? Like, do I think about that right?
It matters some. Like, if you can get a national championship in basketball, that's why I think Kansas is an interesting one, because in football they had nothing, but they.
But how much does Kansas basketball carry it? But how much does a football commissioner consider that?
Well, I'll put it in terms that, you know, favorite of the podcast, Mark Stoops, can attest to. Kentucky football makes more than Kentucky basketball.
There you go. So even though Kansas has an amazing basketball program, I don't know how attractive they are as an addition to a football conference.
Yeah, and that's the problem there. And like Iowa State, Kansas and Iowa State are they're both AAU schools. You'd think the Big Ten, if they wanted to add, would be a logical place. But I'm not sure that's two more mouths to feed, and I'm not sure everybody makes more money that way.
Because that's the only thing that needs to be driven right now. What are you going to add to your conference that makes you more money? And it's like, I think Iowa State fits in really, really well. They've got a natural rival in that conference. Absolutely. Already. They already are a Midwestern team that recruits the Midwest. I think that you could make a case that Iowa State is a far better fit for the Big Ten than Rutgers is. But I don't know if – and they have a really passionate fan base too. But I just don't know if it's the type of
needle that's going to move you, if you're the Big Ten, into more money.
Right. Is it,
and
is,
now there's no brands really left. There's nobody left.
Is your Iowa State-Minnesota game getting picked by Fox in the draft?
Probably not.
What about your USC-Minnesota game?
Absolutely.
There's your answer.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with your thought process on the Pac-12 thing at all.
But I think, to get back to your original question, I don't know who the aggressor is with the old Big 12 teams. Is it the old Big 12 teams or is it somebody else? Because that's, I think, one of the more intriguing aspects of all this.
The thing that is so hard for me to swallow is that there's nothing sexy about this. Like, the reason why this is the biggest news of the week is because it could be the domino that falls that creates an entire realignment for the entire sport. And frankly, I think that's what's going to happen. But the brands that mean the most in the national context of the sport are already spoken for. It's like the only team left that can really make waves on that is Notre Dame, and they're not doing it. So, like,
what about USC? USC?
You know, USC, I think, is the only one that could maybe fit into that mold.
What about
maybe
Oregon?
Yeah. But then other than that, people are...
George Kliavkov, play some defense because you... Seriously.
Bro, welcome to the job, man. Welcome to the job.
I know. He just started. So that's the other thing is he's in this crazy position where, I mean, what do you do if you're him? Because I would be seriously afraid because USC was righteously pissed at Larry Scott. Because this is a league, the Pac-12 is a league where the schools have been very tight. They've been very loyal to one another. They've not been looking around. It's not like that with them. I think USC, if things had gotten a little worse, would have been in a different boat. So that's why I wonder, if you're the Big Ten and you come along, could you do that? Would you do that?
I'm just excited because your proposal said, I was with Kevin Warren a few weeks ago and I told him to relocate the Big Ten championship to Vegas. And if you add the Pac-12 schools into
that, we're
doing it. We're going.
Or at least play it at SoFi.
Yeah. Yeah. The thing too, is that there are some sneaky, interesting teams in that mix too. It's like, what do you do with Arizona State? You know, like Arizona State, Oklahoma State, Arizona, Washington.
I actually think that league together would be pretty good. And now, does anybody become a national title contender out of the league? I don't know, but I think it'd be fun.
But what if you create a league filled with second and third tier teams, and then that lack of that brick wall at the end of the year, where Oklahoma State doesn't have to play Oklahoma. They'll preserve that rivalry, or Oklahoma State doesn't have to play Texas. There's no major conference superpower in that conference. Then opens the door for one of those second tier teams to rise up and be the king of their own conference, and thus changes their entire brand altogether. And they become like, what if Oklahoma State leaving the Big 12 or being in a new footprint is the catalyst
for conference?
And then they become a national power as a result of it. Like, you never know who could rise out of the ashes.
Here's another possibility in the 12-team playoff. We don't know what this league's going to be, but let's say it's a mix of the American teams and the old Big 12 teams. 1 year Oklahoma State makes the playoff, and the next year UCF makes the playoffs, and the next year Cincinnati makes the playoff, and the next year TCU makes the playoff. That's interesting too. That keeps people engaged and interested.
Yeah, unless that the team that keeps making it in the revolving door is a mediocre team that gets their brains kicked in at the end, which is probably what's going to happen anyway. But it's also that can manifest in multiple ways. If it happened that way, it means that the greatest team in the conference changes every year and you've got a really good football team, or it's because the conference sucks and there's just a different team standing at the end of the suckiness at the end of the year. But, you know, I do... Like, I feel like if the Pac-12 did what you said it was going to do, and then the remainder of the Pac-12 still had Arizona State and Washington, is Washington gone in yours? Okay, so let's just say Arizona State is the flagship top remaining program in the Pac-12. They merge with the remnants of the Big 12 after Texas and Oklahoma leave. Then Arizona State finally has an opportunity to be the best team in its conference
It is cool. The forks up or whatever, everything that everybody mm-hmm. likes about watching Arizona State. They make the playoff. They shock somebody in the first round somehow. Like, do they become a sexy program in the new West Coast power because they're in a conference that they could make the playoff in, be the best team in their conference, actually win for the first time in program history, and then combine that with the crazy large student body, cool uniforms, yep. a stadium built into a mountain, an indoor bubble, maybe a new construction of a facility. And the next thing you know, Arizona State is what we always thought they should be.
You know what people
cheating
like,
aside.
Do you know what people like?
Comeback stories?
Winners.
It doesn't matter what level it is.
Yeah, people like winners. So you're right. A team, let's say that they're forced into a level that they don't feel like they belong in, but if they become dominant at that level, they're a winner. People will yeah. come. People will
and
follow.
There's nothing
them.
More
people
pathetic.
Attach
there's
themselves
nothing
to them.
More pathetic too than being upset that you were relegated, for lack of a better term, to a level that you thought you were better than, and then you still suck.
Correct. Correct. That as I learned reading this book about the Blackburn Rovers, who won the Premier League, and then a few years later got themselves relegated and could not get back. So.
Yeah, that's a little bit more soccer than I understand, but it's going to be Arizona State is the Blackburn Rovers.
I like the way you pitched it. I yeah. like them being no, the
and I would believe
that league. Yeah,
because like Boise State Arizona created a brand doing that in a different level.
Yes. An Arizona. How about an Arizona State Oklahoma State rivalry? It'd be awesome.
Talk about national.
Yeah. I'd watch
some cool some cool emergent like Kansas State U of A rivalry.
Yeah,
I don't know if anybody would ever care about that in a million years, but it's fun to say out loud.
Either, but
yeah,
that's the thing. I mean, listen, things are going to change. We are all surprised by this. I thought this time last week, if you'd told me Texas and Oklahoma were joining the SEC, I'd have said you're nuts. What they rule the Big 12? Why would they leave? But they're leaving. I mean, unless there's a miraculous event that saves the Big 12, like there was in 2010, where they basically hammered out a new TV deal in one night, I just don't. It's not going to be the same. It's going to change. The domino effect, I think, will be fairly significant. And it really is just a matter of how aggressive some of these other leagues want to be, how much change there's going to be.
Remember last week when you said, oh my God, it feels so great to talk about football again.
Yeah.
Well, that's gone.
Well, exactly. We'll talk some more football week zero.
When they air the playoff show for the first time, we'll talk about football.
No, I promise we'll get back to football, but we're going to talk about this realignment stuff because listen, everybody loves talking about it. It's endless speculation. And I know that isn't always the most fun thing in the world, but the possibilities are endless right now.
The what if possibilities are so fun to talk out. Like if you're an Arizona State fan and you're listening to this, how are you not pumped up by the idea that maybe something could happen? It impacts everybody.
I don't know that they're pumped up because I don't think they win in any of those scenarios that we spun out other than being the best in that conference, which, you know.
Yeah, then they turn into Boise State. They are sexier. Now, and then they can. And then in this world, they can make the playoffs still.
Yep. We've talked a lot about brands, Ari. Before we go, I want to talk about this because we've talked a lot about brands and we've talked about kind of reconfiguring your brain to understand that there is no Power Five anymore and there is no Group of Five anymore, that the division, the caste system looks different. I think whatever they do, whether it's the American taking some teams from the old Big 12 or the old Big 12, let's say the Pac-12 loses some teams, then in the old Big 12 and old Pac-12 merge, I do think some rebranding needs to happen just mm-hmm. to get it out of your mind. Like get all of the old associations of Group of Five, Power Five out of your mind and just start clean.
I think that'll happen naturally once the playoff expands.
I think you're right. I think you're exactly right. And some teams will become perennial playoff contenders that never were before and we'll look at them differently.
Dude, you could make a case that this weird, and I don't mean to stick with this Arizona State thing, but you could make the case that Arizona State would benefit greatly, maybe not financially, but they would benefit greatly in terms of competitive advantage on the field, and they'd have a better chance of making the playoff and succeeding long term than they did in that system than they do now.
Yeah, but if anybody thought that way, Mississippi State would have joined the Sun Belt and just dominated a long time ago.
No, because the playoff didn't exist at that point.
It's true.
Those okay. now you're talking about teams that wouldn't have been considered in the BCS format and wouldn't mm-hmm. be considered at all in the modern format of the playoff. And you're saying, hey, you know what, SMU? You have a better chance or a more likely shot of making the college football playoff now than half of the Power 5 teams in the Big 12. Fair Cincinnati point. Has a better chance of making the playoff now than Kansas State does. So does UCF. Absolutely. All the teams that have spent the last 15 years and longer completely an afterthought, despite flirting with the discussion, now actually have a easier path than some of these other teams that have Alabama standing in their way.
So in a way, Ari, the other Big 12 teams should be thanking Oklahoma because yes. by leaving, they now have a chance to make the playoff.
Yeah. Well, it's like Cincinnati last year completely resents the fact that they weren't involved at all in the college football playoff discourse. I mean, we talked about it, but they were never honestly considered. But now Cincinnati has an easier route to the playoff than Penn State.
Yep. Yep. Well, this is going to be a really fascinating next month, Ari. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm sure the Big Ten is not going to take my idea seriously. So we don't have to worry about that. But there are going to be a lot of changes and some pretty jarring stuff. So we got to get ready for it. I promise we'll talk some more football later, but we're going to have to talk about this for a little while. So, silver lining, thanks to Ari Wasserman. If you're worried that you're no longer in a power conference, the good news is you now have a better chance to make the playoff.
So there's no power conference. None.
It's like that scene in The Matrix. The thing you have to realize is there is no spoon. There is no power conference. Talk to you later.